Rabbi Beryl Wein is a historian, a teacher of Torah, a lawyer, a columnist, and a popular Jerusalem lecturer. In the program Wein Online, he talks about the meaning of the Torah portion of the week. Welcome to Wein Online with Rabbi Beryl Wein, talking this week about which parsha?
Yisro. And it's, again, a pleasure to be with you, Elliot. The parsha of Yisro is the parsha that discusses the revelation at Sinai, describes the revelation at Sinai, the great moment in human history when, so to speak, the Lord gives us, what shall I say, the book of instructions. You know, I just bought a new computer in a fit of madness, and I'm trying to put the thing together. Right? So if you try and do it without, you can't do it with the book of instructions, but you certainly can't do it without the book of instructions. So if God gives us life and he wants to measure us and he gives us choices, etc., so it would not be fair if he did not give us a book of instructions, if he didn't say what he wants from us. And according to Ramban and many, many other commentators, the Ten Commandments encapsulate within them the 613 commandments of the Torah, can encapsulate within them all of moral law. So the commandment not to steal has enormous ramifications in every realm of economic activity. Not only economic activity, in life itself, not to covet, which is a very, very difficult commandment, right? To understand that what someone else has is his and what I have is mine, and I have no rights to what is yours. And the same thing is true of murder, of taking people's lives. Terrible, terrible world that we live in where lives are taken so indiscriminately, and everyone is armed to the teeth, where almost our first resort is to killing. It's a frightening thing. And immorality, physical, sexual immorality, betrayal of spouses, all sorts of things that undermine life. So the Torah in these commandments really speaks about a tremendous variety of issues, but it does so pithily in very, very short words. It's really the idea that Hillel told the convert that all of the Torah can be encapsulated in don't do to someone else what you don't want done to you, and now go and study the rest, because there is a rest. But if this is the core, the kernel of it. And God speaks to us of monotheism, against paganism, against many gods, against the worst of all things is human beings creating gods, or human beings becoming gods, right? Become Lenin, Stalin, right? Kim Il-sung, Saddam. These people, they're gods, right? So that's the highest form of idolatry, the worst form of idolatry. It's worse than making a wooden statue or a golden statue that you bow to. Them. A person that's mortal. And the Torah also teaches us about respect for parents, respect for elders. I always quote Mark Twain's famous statement that when he said, when I was 16, my father was the dumbest man in the world, and you'd be surprised how much he learned by the time I was 30. And we should all profit from experience. We should all profit from elders. We should all profit from parents, from the relationship to parents, and try and make functional homes that are secure. We run into tremendous problems today in our society. Homes that literally have no parents or don't have both parents. And all these things take a toll. There's no free lunch here in the world. And then the Torah also emphasizes to us the great idea of the Sabbath, the day of rest, the day, in our world of 7-day, 24-hour shopping, where nothing is closed. And so then the feeling of being a human being is absolutely destroyed. Those of us who are fortunate enough to observe the Sabbath cannot describe the feeling to anyone else, the feeling of rest and of security and of a change of pace and of being able somehow to relate to oneself, the only the things that the Sabbath brings to us. There's a famous letter that Justice Brandeis wrote. Justice Brandeis had an uncle by the name of Louis Dembitz. In fact, Brandeis changed his middle name from David to Dembitz in honor of his uncle. And his uncle was a lawyer in Kentucky, as was Brandeis. And his uncle was an observant Jew, a Sabbath-observing Jew. And Brandeis writes how he would sometimes spend the Sabbath with his uncle and how he envied that wonderful, serene day, etc. And he concludes by saying, well, he said, if we could only have a Sabbath without the restrictions. Well, it's a good idea, but no one has been able to produce it without the restrictions. It's the restrictions that make the day, that give us that feeling of holiness. So all of the 613 commandments are encapsulated in these 10 statements, which has remained until today really the basis for all civilization and morality in the world, for any of our hopes of getting out of all of these messes that we're in now. And therefore, it's singular that the Jewish people should be able to read it again in this week's Parsha to see the goals that we are aiming for, both as individuals and as a nation and as a world, and to be able to march forward with the echo of Sinai in our ears.
Rabbi, can I just ask you, you mentioned the advice that Hillel gave to the pagan. Was it a pagan?
It was a pagan who came to be converted, yes.
And he said, tell me about your religion, and Hillel said to him, tell me again, what did Hillel say to him?
Well, the pagan said to him, can you convert me while I stand on one foot? In other words, you know, tell it to me quick.
Right.
And so he said to him, do not do unto others what you don't want others to do to you.
Right.
He said that's the kernel of life.
And
the nucleus.
And Rabbi, how did we develop in ourselves that kind of level of empathy so that we could fulfill Hillel's advice?
Well, so that's what he said. Now go learn the rest. I think our mitzvot, the observance of commandments, the idea of Jewish morality is expressed in all of the works of the Jewish people over the thousands of years, helped develop such a thing. It's not an impossible trait to acquire, but like all good traits, it requires training and habit and commitment and the realization that I somehow I have to care for others also, and I cannot be just for myself. And that was also Hillel's great statement. If I am only for myself, he said, then what am I? I'm of no value. And if I'm not for myself, then who will be for me? So that's the paradox, right? Everybody has to find the line in life where where you can define yourself, how much I'm going to be for myself and how much I'm going to be for others. The rabbis don't advise giving all of our money away to charity, because then we end up needing charity ourselves. On the other hand, one cannot refuse charity, so you have to make a line. And that line applies to everything in life. The Torah is a Torah of balance. The Torah of rationality, of practicality. It's not pie in the sky. It's not, love everyone and, blind yourself to the reality of the guy that's coming to blow you up. That's not us. But the core value is that we do have an appreciation for others, and not just a tolerance for them, but an appreciation of their situation, and try to do what we can to improve it.
Thank you, Rabbi Wein. You've been listening to Wein Online with Rabbi Beryl Wein, this week talking about Parshat Yitro.